You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, sponsored by flowmax.ie and bar1racing.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favourite podcast outlets. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. We're recording live from lovely Longford tonight. First time we've done this in a while. If you haven't already heard the news, guess who's back? He's back again. John Breyer live in studio with myself.
Well, I don't know about lovely Longford. It's chucking it down outside, yeah. Kieran, but it is great to be back. Yeah, a bit of a hiatus. Guest presenters have done absolutely brilliant, I think, Kieran. But great to be back for this one. Really looking forward to what we've got on tonight. We'll be reviewing the fixtures, the results, and having a chat about European football and how our clubs got on there.
Yeah, a couple of interviews to bring you tonight as well. Gary Crone and Bray Boss, they are top of the First Division and they are flying high, so we'll chat to him, and we're going to chat to Rob Manley, who was on the score sheet for Longford last night against UCD. And again, if you haven't heard the big news, we've just announced it in the last few minutes on our social media channels. We've got a special podcast coming out hopefully later on this week. The one, the only, Roddy Collins. I sat down with him for over an hour and a half today, John. It's a no-holds-barred interview. Everything that has happened during that man's career, he's covered it in total depth. Very honest, very frank interview. Brilliant, really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to share it with everyone. But we're going to release that as a special standalone show, a Roddy Collins special. It was due to be part of this show tonight, but I didn't think I was going to be on the phone for an hour and a half with him, but I just couldn't. I was totally engrossed, so I've decided we're going to release that as a special, and we'll continue on as usual tonight.
Kieran, that is great, because everybody, I think, heard the stories about Roddy. Yeah. They've heard the controversies, the criticisms. We've got a chance to listen to the man himself and see if he can put the record right.
Yeah, as you said, Roddy Collins, you know, he's Marmite. Some people love him, some people hate him. But what I didn't realise until I sat down with him today, he's had so many hardships during his career. He's had so many challenges and so many obstacles thrown in front of him. Absolutely incredible stuff. Some of the stuff he comes out with, you wouldn't believe it could happen to a manager during his career. But it's happened to Roddy. And as he said at the very end, he's still alive, he's still kicking, he's still here. So I can't wait to bring that to you later in the week, folks. Keep an eye out for that. Again, keep an eye on our social channels for when that one goes live. But the best thing to do is subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And the minute that special goes live, you'll get it to your device.
And if you've got your Breyer bingo card out, his son once had a trial for Yeovil Town, so you can strike that one off.
Let's start the show, John, tonight. It's Series 4, Episode 14. As I said, we've got Gary Cronin and Rob Manley to come. But we'll start with the Premier Division results as ever. Derry 0, St Pat's 0. I called it last week. I said this one had a scoreless draw written all over it. Proven right, unfortunately.
Yeah, spot on with that one, Kieran. What has happened to Pats? It feels like so long since they scored a goal. I think I was still in school.
There's Breyer's classic quotes already back. Yeah, they're really struggling for goals at the moment. Georgie Kelly, a couple of half chances in this one. Both teams did create what I'd call half chances, but I think you'd say the same about Derry, though. They're really struggling at the moment just to find that goal scoring touch.
Yeah, and you'd expect, you know, Brandywell, I suppose they're missing the atmosphere, the fans, that side of things as well. So, yeah, I think they'll be disappointed more than Pats, but going to be a long season still for Pats if they can't get any goal scoring boots on. And when they signed Georgie Kelly, I thought there was a ready-made goal scorer there, but they're really struggling. One positive, we're not hearing too much of the bell.
I think he was there, the man with the bell, actually. Fair play to him. He travelled all the way to sit on the wall in the Brandywell, yep. So absolutely tipped the cap to him. That's a great dedication. But Stephen O'Donnell listened to his post-match interview. Reckons there was positives. He was happy with the defensive performance. He reckons if they can just get an opening goal in a game, that they'll see games out, that they're quite well set up. So how would you evaluate St. Pat's overall under Stephen O'Donnell so far? Is it too early to call? Does the man need time to get that project up and running properly?
Yeah, well, I think so, Kieran. I mean, he's a rookie manager at the end of the day, isn't he? So, I mean, it would be very, very harsh to call it a day with him after this shortened season. I think you've got to give people a bit of time. And of course, like I said, it's his first appointment, so you've got to give the lad a chance. But obviously, we'll see how they get on. They don't want to be dragged down into that relegation fight anyway.
No, you just wouldn't know what had happened this season. Let's move on to another one. Wasn't too high scoring, just one goal in this one, but it was a good goal. And I actually thought this was quite a good game too. Sligo 0, Bohemians 1. Andre Wright with the goal and a really good finish too.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sligo had been on a great run because... I think when we talked last, Kieran, we thought Sligo were going to be dead and buried.
You called it. You said Sligo will go down this season.
Yeah, and they've proved me wrong, haven't they? There's a lot being proven wrong tonight already, and it says a lot about our punditry, Kieran. But
there's been a lot of changes, though, at Sligo since then. They've brought in a lot of particularly attacking players, and that's obviously reaped benefits. But disappointing loss for them here. This was a chance to really cement their place in those European positions. For Bohs, it's a great bounce back for them because they lost the Dublin Derby. They lost their next game after that, but they've got back on track here with this win.
Yeah, and they had to win that one to keep it. A chink of pressure on Rovers, I think.
Yeah, well, obviously, you've got Dundalk against Rovers on Sunday. I mean, if Dundalk could win that one and Bohs keep winning towards the end of the season, maybe they do have just the slightest chance still in the title race.
Yeah, I wouldn't be calling that,
no,
to be honest.
No, I'm just saying that, as you said, there might be just a glimmer still there for them.
There might be, but yeah, it would be the smallest of glimmers.
I watched this one live, Shells against Harps. First half, I thought Shells were probably going to run away with this one, but again, I know you probably heard me speaking to Ian Morris last week, and my opinion was that his team has left points behind at times this season, particularly the game against Cork. I think this is another example here where they should have probably been a lot more comfortable on the night, but a second half red card swung this game, and Harps again, unlucky not to win it. They were unlucky not to win against Derry, unlucky not to win here, but they're picking up points and they could be crucial in the battle for safety this year.
Yeah, look, most teams will take a point at Shells, won't they? And you know, we've got Killed Off up front for Shells. He got the opener, but
only his second goal of the season. Was really surprised to hear that, actually. I hadn't realised he'd been so quiet this year.
You sort of associate him with being an out and out goal scorer. Yeah. And you remember all those times he came off the bench for Dundalk and scored crucial goals for them, but yeah, I'm surprised with that with two goals, but a little bit of quality, isn't there, in that Harps side? Barry McNamee with the equaliser.
Yeah, his first goal since returning from Derry City, or arriving at Harps from Derry City. Again, he's probably one you would have expected more from, but if he can find his feet now in the last couple of games, he could be a key man for Finn Harps in their bid for survival.
Yeah, and they needed that point because, you know, we were looking, they were in a bit of free fall, weren't they? And, you know, Ollie in trouble again on the sidelines and the likes, but... yeah, they needed that point, and you know, it's a huge match for them at the weekend, isn't it?
This is season defining for both Harps and Cork, and we'll chat about that a little bit later on. All the goals were at Talla last night. 6-1, Shamrock Rovers ran out against Waterford. Maybe John Sheridan a bigger loss than we thought, John.
Look, he's a good manager. He was a great player. I remember watching him for Leeds growing up, but yeah, he's a decent manager. He's managed at some decent clubs, and... you know, I think he'll go on and do well back again in England. But yeah, it's just,
I think he might have lost his first game of the weekend, did he?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think so.
But I suppose it's a shame that he wasn't really there long enough for us to see, you know, what he could bring to Waterford.
I think we heard enough of him anyway during his little short time at Waterford.
But look, this was a demolition job. And
Some of the defending in this game was really poor. I know that everyone's probably seen it now, the video the league shared last night on Twitter of Jack Burns' incredible assist where he picks it up on the edge of his own box. He runs through the entire Waterford team.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it's great play from Jack Byrne, but you could have driven a double-decker bus through that Waterford midfield.
Yeah, trademark Jack Byrne run, you know, running at, well, it wasn't just the defence, but the midfield as well. And it was like the parting of the seas, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really poor from Waterford.
Yeah, look, goal scorers there, Roberto Lopez. I mean, he's playing so well at the moment.
Yeah, he stood out against AC Milan, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, we'll come on to that in a minute. Lee Grace, Jack Byrne, Graham Burke, Dean Williams. The quality through that team.
Yeah, I've been saying it every week now. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but by far and away the best squad in the country.
Yeah, consolation goal for Michael O'Connor, but it was all over at that stage.
Waterford, just from a Waterford point of view, they need to move quickly now to appoint a new manager, don't they? Because it looks like there's probably a lack of leadership there at the moment.
Yeah, 6-1's a real drubbing, isn't it? And I know it's a way to the would-be champions, but yeah, it's a real hammering, and they need to get some stability in at that club.
Yeah, I know Lee Power likes his English managers. Maybe John Breyer from Yeovil, his name in the hat perhaps for the next Waterford manager.
I don't think so. I don't think I could take the pay cut, Kieran.
Let's move on to the First Division results over the last couple of days. There was two rounds of games Friday and then last night. So we'll just read out the Friday results. We won't go in depth on them. We'll chat more about the Monday games. Athlone 2, Cove 1. First win for Athlone since July 2019. What a result for them. Bray 3, Longford 0. That was an absolute demolition job. It could have been 6. Galway 1, Wexford 0. The John Caulfield revolution continues. UCD 1, draw out of 3. But not as simple as it looks on paper. UCD missed a late penalty to go 2-2. And then Drogheda put the icing on the cake to make it 3-1. But a big win for the Drogs there, and it was Shamrock Rovers 2-0, Cabin Teely 2, so Cabo finally back to winning ways after a really poor run of form. Before we go on to speak about the Monday games though, we're going to hear from the man who's currently sitting top of the First Division table, the Bray boss. Gary Cronin joins us now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here at the Carlisle grounds with Bray boss Gary Cronin after a superb 3-0 win over Longford. That propelled you right up into the mix, Gary.
Yeah, just look, we look back at the Cabin Teely game where it was a must-win game for us to try and bring us back into the title race, and we've gone on a decent winning streak since then, and that's all it is, because a couple of results either way can have you back down in fifth in this league. And but tonight we were really pleased with the last performance. Our intensity levels were quite good, and I think overall we deserve to win the game tonight, and it keeps us up there.
A couple of goals from McAvoy, another goal from Shaw against Longford Town. Town fans sick of hearing that now at this stage. But at half time you must have been pulling your hair out. Your team had numerous chances in that first half, particularly just before the whistle. Callum Thompson raced in 1-on-1 with the keeper and he skies it over the bar. You must go in thinking, we have been so dominant in that first half, we could concede a set piece now or anything. You must have been slightly concerned at half time despite how well your team played.
Yeah, those thoughts go through your head, all right, you know, after dominating and having the chances to win off the bar and Callum getting in, and we had a couple of other half chances, and you start to go, you're right, because Longford are trapped set pieces. But look, we had the confidence, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, we were quite focused throughout the week, and to be fair to Dara and Longford, they had a different shape than most teams play, so it was something for us to work on. And we defended it quite well. I think after 10 minutes we got the grips of it. They were excellent against Rotten in the first half of that formation last week, so once we got the grips of that, I thought, you know, we dominated the majority of the game then, and we were quite strong, and it was all about taking chances in the second half, and it settled us getting the one early, because the lads had that inside them thinking, you know, we should be winning this game, and we're not, but that's the game. And they came out of the traps with an early goal in the second half, settled us down. So
you seem to have a nice mixture going on there within the squad now. Great and brilliant in the first half down that left hand side. Yeah. You had Barnett over on the other flank, and then you've got the experience of Paul Keegan to bring off the bench, and obviously Gary Shaw gets his goal again tonight. So have you got just the right blend of players there now at the moment?
Well, look, I mean, it's looking that way, obviously, with the position in the league, but we've 6 massive games to go. But I mean, a player like Paul Keegan and his experience, and we're able to bring him on to settle down games and so on, which is great for us. But I think for all the First Division squads, and I've said this before, it's a tough schedule. It's normally the Premier League has that type of schedule, obviously due to the pandemic. But I don't think any club has a massive squad, and you know, a suspension and 2 or 3 injuries to key players could really decimate your challenge, and we're no different, and like other sides are the same. So the blend is good, but you know, our challenge is to keep everybody fit and available to play.
I've just been catching up with Gary Shaw there. Obviously such a lovely bloke off the pitch, but God, I'd hate to play him if I was a centre half. I mean, they must be black and blue after they go up against him. Look, he plays fair, but he plays hard. You must be delighted to have that experience up there.
Yeah, I mean, it was great to get Gary in at the start, and you know, he's adding more goals than he did before. To be fair, like, you know, and but his work rate is phenomenal, and you know, we have a really, really good centre forward coming through with Darrell Lynch, who's 10 years his junior, and he has an eye for goal, and he learned so much off Gary, particularly work rate wise. You know, you get your rewards when you put the centre halves under pressure, and like you say, centre halves don't like playing against Gary because he never gives up. Lee Stacey on the ball there, and Gary's run from one side of the pitch to the other to close him down,
and the goal's come from that. You've scored off the resulting corner.
You know what? Fair play, I didn't even, it copped that. I'd be looking back on that, but there you go. You know, we're after getting a resulting corner. corner and a goal, which Gary took really, really well. So, I mean, you can't really beat work rate, to be perfectly honest with you. It's, and Gary has that in abundance. And, yeah, when he scores goals, it's obviously his job.
We were just chatting here as well. We were saying only 100 or so fans here tonight, obviously, because of the regulations. But what a difference it made. There was a great buzz in here tonight, particularly when your team got that opening goal. Yeah. It was great to see what it looks like to see fans celebrating again, I have to say.
It was fantastic. And, you know, you do hear the extra little bit of volume in the place, which is great. But
so do the referees and the officials.
The referees, yeah, and he's probably more so because a lot of echoing. But it was funny at the end, I heard an applause that I haven't heard in weeks, and I ran over to the lads again. It's great to hear you back again. It'd be great if more people come back in, but look, we have to manage the situation as a group of people, and great having some of them back, and hopefully we can go on and give them more stuff to cheer about. But look, our focus now, we've just enjoyed it. Our focus for everybody, really. But you know, we're back in tomorrow preparing for Cove. It's another massive game, and it's going to be another tough game down there on a Monday night. So we've refocused already to the next game.
Yeah, look, final question on that Cove game. They're a bit of a wounded animal at the moment. They've taken two bad defeats now in their last two games, so you're going down there, difficult place to go. How do you prepare for that? And as you said, it's such a demanding schedule. It's more like a Premier Division schedule at the moment. Is it more about the recovery now, or do you still have to get that the tactics and the ball work in at the same time?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think at this stage of the season, I don't think any team in the probably the Premier and the Fourth Division is going to make their players any better at this stage. Like, you know, of course you need to have a look at the opposition, you need to look at it tactically, but the biggest thing now at the moment is recovery, particularly for the lads who played 90 and put a hell of a shift in there. So we're going to go in and do that tomorrow, and yeah, of course we'll have a look on Cove, and Charlie played really well against us here. It's the only team we haven't beaten here, actually. And yeah, I don't know, the wounded animal, like, I mean, Wexford were a very wounded animal when we played us, and we were only 4 minutes away from getting beaten by them. So, you know, Cove will obviously be the same. They'll want a reaction, particularly after the last home defeat. So we have to be careful we don't get that reaction on us. So look, can we prepare as best we can? It's going to be a really tough game, and I think most of the games are going to be like that, to be fair with you.
Just picking up on that Wexford result here the other day, that showed unbelievable character from your lads, because I mentioned it on the podcast previously, you kind of slipped up against them teams last year, and that was almost the deciding factor in you just missing out on the playoffs. So to be behind against them the other night with 10 minutes to play and to go and win, that has to give your players a huge mentality boost. It obviously shows they've switched something on from this time last year to now.
Yeah, I was listening to your podcast and
ringing endorsement.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've said that ourselves. We went behind in those two games last year and couldn't come back. We went behind in those two games this season, and we pulled ourselves back into the game, and it was massive character. Now, to be fair, you know, we owned a lot of the game down in Wexford, but they were hard to break down. We did create chances. Our keeper was in good form, but when we gave the goal away, you knew it was going to be a mountain to climb because they're sitting in, and we never gave up. Our fitness levels were there, and we got the goals, and it was a fantastic feeling. Obviously, you know, that's why we play football. And possibly a turning point, possibly a moment in the season where you go, do you know what, lads, let's push on here. But six massive games to go, so who knows.
You've got a line of happy reporters waiting for you here, so I'll let you go. Gary, thanks very much.
Stay home. Cheers.
For all your industrial equipment, compressed air, vacuum, automation, mechanical and engineering needs, check out flowmax.ie, proud sponsors of Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Well, I have to say, he's had his criticisms, hasn't he, Gary Cronin? And, you know, they've stayed patient with him when perhaps they could have made a change of management. It's paying off. They look the best team in the league.
Yeah, not often I get it wrong, John, but I definitely did raise questions about Gary Cronin in previous seasons, during maybe this season as well. But he's proven everyone wrong at the moment, proven myself wrong. They're playing really, really good football. They look to have the right blend there. They've got plenty of youth, good pacey wingers. Graydon was unplayable at times, although Longford gave him the freedom of the park Friday night. And over on the far side, Dylan Barnett was very good. They've got the experience of Gary Shaw up there. And Paul Keegan only on the bench at the moment for most games this season. So they've got a lovely blend there.
Yeah, it's not one-dimensional, as you sometimes think when you've got someone like Shaw up front. But they've got, you know, like you say, they've got power down the flanks and... Well, the less said about Longford's performance that night, the better. We made him look like Bray Alona or something, didn't we? We were worst I've seen Longford Town. But all credit to Gary there. He's doing a good job, and I think he'll probably go on and win the league.
You think they'll win the league?
I think so at this stage.
I'd have to disagree. I am usually one for chopping and changing my predictions, but I've said since day one on this show that for me, Drogheda is the best team in the division, and having watched both Drogheda and Bray recently, I still think Drogheda is the most well-rounded team in this division. I think Drogheda will go on and win it.
Yeah, you're wrong though. But
well, we'll find out. We'll probably find out this weekend, won't we? Bray play Drogheda in a huge, huge game in the first division.
Yeah, that's going to be a real good one. I'm looking forward to that.
Let's move on and speak about the results last night. Longford Town 3, UCD 1. We're going to be hearing from Rob Manley, one of the goal scorers, in a moment, and we'll bring you a little audio clip from the LTFC Plus stream as well of Rob Manley's goal. You were at this one, John. First time fans were allowed back in a long time. I'm sure you were delighted to be back in Section O.
Missed it, Kieran. Yeah. Missed it big time, and I'm sure everybody else that goes to matches have, but... very lucky that I got a season ticket, I suppose. And yeah.
And just fingers crossed that people can keep going. Let's hope that...
Yeah.
That
But the streaming's been brilliant, I have to say. Yeah. And all clubs have done their bit. And, you know, it was great to be able to watch the Bray-Longford match. But, you know, Longford had to bounce back after an abject performance against Bray. I was saying to one of the lads there that it was the worst I've ever seen them play. Mm. And he was saying, how long have you been watching Town? I said, about 10 years. I said, no. You ain't seen nothing. And to be fair, Longford didn't have a great first half. And UCD went in 1-0 thanks to Evan Weir's goals right on the stroke of half-time.
It was a great finish from Young Weir, wasn't it?
It was a good move, Kieran.
Yeah. Yeah. But Longford totally switched off, ball-watching. They'd been quite decent defensively in the first half. They didn't show anything on the ball. It was a really flat first half from both sides, but they just switched off. And that's something Longford have done a lot this year. Their concentration at times in crucial moments, it hasn't been great.
Well, whatever was in the half-time oranges or Derrid Doyle's team talk worked wonders, because it was like watching a different team second half. And Longford powered back through goals from the unlikely goal scorer, Shane Elworthy. Mm. One player that always seems to get in the right place at the right time, Sam Verdon. And delighted to see Rob Manley get the third, because he seems to have a bit of something about him again.
Yeah, and you could say the same for Elworthy as well. He looked his old self last night, didn't he? He hasn't been great this season, but he was playing like he did last year last night.
Yeah, it was great to see. That second half, you know, it was the Longford of old, I thought.
I'd actually disagree. I don't think the second half was a performance of great quality. It wasn't about maybe this eye-catching football that Longford liked to play at times, this good possession stuff. It was about rolling the sleeves up, grit, determination. They pressed the life out of UCD.
Huge high
forced
press.
Them into mistakes. And UCD, they eventually folded like a deck of cards.
Yeah. Don't know why they didn't do that in the first half, but look... You know, they got it right second half and emerged winners. Now,
before we move on, let's hear from the man of the moment, Rob Manley. And before that, here's a reminder of how he got the crucial third goal in the game last night. Rob Manley, I think it's bounced off him in a way. It's back in again. Can Longford create something here? Dean Zamber, he turns down with a chance to shoot. Dylan Hand, good ball toward Mick McDonald and towards Rob Manley!
I'm here in the media room at Bishopsgate after a 3-1 win for Longford Town over UCD tonight, and I'm here next to one of the goal scorers, Rob Manley. Your fifth goal of the season, Rob, and probably the most crucial yet. You got the second goal of the game, and you just snuck in at that back post, Mick McDonald with a header back across the goal, and you're in the right place at the right time. I suppose you've got a bit of a reputation for that even before you arrived here at Longford.
Well, that's what I'm good at, and Mick's done excellently to get the ball back across, and thankfully, like, it went in.
Is it fair to say that second half display was built off determination, grit, fight, maybe more than quality? Maybe it wasn't the most eye-catching of stuff at times, but Longford's fight and determination that second half, the crowd that was here tonight, they really got behind you as well. They could see the effort that was going in, and you've put UCD under so much pressure in that second half, they've eventually caved in.
Big time. I thought we did do well in the first half, and we created a lot of chances, and we were unlucky not to put some away. But UCD probably get one chance and they've scored from it. So a big reaction was needed. And like you said, having the fans there, when we got on their tails, fans get behind us, it lifts our spirits, lifts the whole team. And we are able to get 3 points in the end. So
yeah, of course, you did have a chance, a bit of a half chance in the first half where you get a snapshot away and the keeper does well to get down and save it with his feet. But aside from that, it probably was a bit of a flat first half in truth. And obviously, Dara, I'm sure, was looking for a big reaction after that performance in Bray. What did he say at halftime that got you to play like that in the second half?
No, he believes in us massively, Dara, and he's been brilliant with us. And he was, obviously he was let down against for our performance in Bray, and he expected a big reaction from us, and I'm glad we could pay him back because he deserves it.
And you could see that at the end as well. He came over and big hugs for a couple of the players, including yourself at the end there. Look, I don't know how much social media and stuff you read after a game. There was some fans questioning whether the players were still playing from after that game in Bray. You've definitely proven them wrong tonight. That was a real team performance out there. Everything from Adam Evans tracking back into his own corner flag, Elworthy getting up and down the flank, and as you mentioned, the centre-half, like McDonald getting up there and providing assists. Yeah. It was a real team performance all over.
Everyone's working together now. We're all in this together.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. Like we back the manager 100%, and the manager backs us, and he's been brilliant with us. Him and John Martin, and hopefully we can push on now.
Have you proven something tonight as well? I think when people talk about Longford, they talk about them being a real passing team and playing nice football, but maybe sometimes a little bit easy to get at. Tonight, as I said, it was a real second half built off fight and determination. You've shown you can roll your sleeves up and get the job done any way possible.
Well, I always believe in the boys. I think we have been unlucky in some games, and tonight we did show that we have the character to win games when we're 1-0 down. And we have to just take it from here and push on.
And you're going to have plenty in the fight in the next one as well, because it's the local derby against Athlone. Are you looking forward to playing in that one?
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm not sure if some of the fans will be able to get into that. I'm not sure. But big time. We'll put in a good trend this week, and we'll go at them on Friday.
And very much still all to play for in the first division. I know Bray are probably, if you're speaking from a bookmaker's point of view, they're probably the favourites at the moment. Drogheda are still in the mix, but Cabo starting to slip up. Longford up to third now after that win tonight. Is the title still there for the town?
Look, here we are. There's 5 games left now, so all we can do is focus on ourselves. We have to keep winning.
And look, a good battle between yourself and Sam Verdon now for the Golden Boot as well. You're both on 5, so that must give you that little bit of extra determination as well.
I have a good relationship with Sam, and we're always trying to find each other in the box, and so it's good, and it's nice to have the competition with the goal scoring as well.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks very much, Rob.
Thanks very much.
Download the free Barwon Racing app from the Google Play Store and Apple Market right now and enjoy the latest sporting odds and offers at your fingertips, as well as features such as live in-play betting and much more. BarwonRacing.com, proud sponsors of Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Yeah, let's move on to the rest of the games that took place in the First Division last night, John. And back-to-back wins for Athlone Town. I think it's the first time in a year and a half that that's happened.
Yeah, and without Darren Meenan, who retired there as well. So, great result for Athlone. And I don't think I saw that coming, did you?
I've kind of been struggling with Athlone all year, what kind of analysis to give them, because as I've touched on a few times, they're actually not the worst Athlone team I've ever seen. They've got some good young players. They're trying to play good football as well, so credit to them, but results just haven't gone their way at all. And we kind of questioned, myself and Gary when we were on the show a few weeks ago, where this project goes for Athlone. But they've got some good young players there. It's just a matter of how long they're going to be able to keep the likes of Manning, because he is a class above.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, and he's a standout for that team, so you're right, you can see him getting snapped up elsewhere, but obviously he's going to see the season out, I would have thought.
Oh yeah, 100%. But from Athlone, this gives them great confidence going into the El Clásico on Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
And even a point there for them would be a brilliant result against
them. Yeah, and I've seen Longford stutter there before, so yeah. It's not beyond the boundaries of reason that they could get something.
Moving on, Cabinteely, we thought they were getting back to winning ways. They won that game against Shamrock Rovers 2, but they were beaten last night by Galway. 99th minute goal. I don't know if you've seen the replay or the goal. It was up on social media. It's a free kick, and the goalkeeper's come out. He's got caught under and it's gone straight through and into the top corner of the net. It was an awful way to lose a game of football.
Yeah, it was a howler.
Yeah.
Absolute howler. And terrible goalkeeping. But you sometimes see that in the First Division, Kieran. But I mean, Cabo should have got something out of this game. Galway were down to 10 men at this stage with Mark Lunnan getting sent off.
Oh, it's a real kick in their teeth.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And that free kick was in the 9th minute of injury time. But What an effect John Caulfield's had there.
That's what I mean. When you're on a little bit of momentum and you have a bit of pep in your step, little bits of luck like this often fall your way.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's five wins, I think, on the trot for Galway. They're going to be in the playoff places before you know it.
Yeah, 100%. And if they'd started the season like this, they would have been title contenders because they've got some really good players there. You just wonder why it didn't all come together for their previous manager.
I think it just shows the class of Caulfield, you know, yeah, to go in there and change things around straight away. I mean, let's face it, he only left Cork because of financial situation, yeah, didn't he? So, you know, although we sometimes criticise his performances in Europe, negative outlook, but this is, yeah, he's doing a great job there.
Cove 1, Bray 2, another big win for Bray because Cove gave them a good game here.
They did. Charlie Lyons with a goal there for Ramblers, but Bray made it 2-1. Gary Shaw not on the score sheet this time, but yeah, 2-1. And yeah, that's a big result away from home for them, you know, to be going down to Cove. You know, we know how tricky it can be going down, yeah, there. We were well beaten earlier in the season, Longford down there. And yeah, for Bray to come away with that, I think they're just starting to make their mark for me as favourites for the division.
Let's move on to speak about the games coming up this weekend. There is a game tonight, Drogheda against Shamrock Rovers 2. Not really a lot we can say on that. It's about to kick off in the next few minutes. You'd be expecting a comfortable win for the Drogs there, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I can't see anything else. Home win, Kieran.
Galway against Cove. Galway, are is the running streak going to continue?
Yeah, I think so. The form, that you know, they're tearing up the form book and performing really, really well. Home win again for me with this one.
Have to agree with you on that one again. Cabinteely against Wexford. This is a really tricky one to call.
I think Cabinteely have to win this one at this stage because they've been on, yeah, they've been on such a, you know, a down run. I mean, we were talking about them as champions, weren't we? You know, I think you predicted or Fitzy predicted that they'd crash at some stage.
Yeah, I'm going to have to hold my hands up again. That's one I got wrong. He did say that they'd fall away. He couldn't really offer any real reason why he thought that. But he got it right. Cabinteely, they have fallen away in recent weeks. I don't think they're going to be winning the title. And if they keep losing games, they might not be in the playoffs either. But I don't know. I'd be surprised if they aren't in the playoffs. But for me, I think this has a draw written all over it. Wexford, they've got back on track. I know they've been beaten in recent games again. But to lose the way they did, 8-0 against UCD, that could have completely shattered the confidence of a young team.
Yeah.
But they gave Bray a really good game a couple of weeks ago. They were narrowly beaten by Athlone. They'll be disappointed with that. But again, they were only beaten by the odd goal there. So it looks like they've gone back to basics and just tried to organise themselves as in a solid manner as possible. And I think that's what they'll do here against Cabo. If they get a point, they'll be delighted with that.
Yeah, I don't think they will, though, Kieran, this one. I'm going to go for a home win.
Game of the weekend in the First Division, no doubt about it. Bray Wanderers against Drogheda. What's your thoughts?
Well, I have to go with my prediction of Bray, don't I? And I know you think Drogheda are a better all-round team, but for me, from what I've seen in recent weeks, I think Bray might just edge that one.
It's a hard one to preview this because obviously we won't know the result of the Drogs game until tonight, a little bit later on against Rovers 2. If they were to slip up there, that would definitely just knock a little bit of confidence out of them. And they know, at least they'll go into this game tonight against Rovers 2. They definitely won't underestimate them because they got the fright of their life up in Talla not so long ago post-restart there. But if they can get a result tonight, they'll go into that game against Bray full of confidence. For me, when I look at Drogheda, they just don't give you anything easy. They're really well organised. Mm-hmm. They don't give away cheap, sloppy goals, even though I know their manager, when I spoke to him, Tim Clancy, after the Longford game a couple of weeks ago, he had highlighted a couple of individual mistakes they've made. But as a unit, for me, they don't give things away easily. I just look at Bray, and as much as you're impressed by the football they're playing, and I've touched on the good blend they have of youth and experience, I don't know, do they have the stomach to go and win a league title?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
We will find out, and I might be apologising to Gary Cronin on next week's show. He might prove me totally wrong, but I think Drogheda, they've been knocking on the door the last couple of seasons, missing out on playoffs, missing out on titles. I think their time has come. I think this is their year to go and win it, and I think they'll leave the Carlisle with at least a point on Friday.
Okay, we'll agree to differ on that one.
El Clasico, Athlone against Longford Town, and some breaking news here from BTSHQ. The game won't be streamed, unfortunately, but we're going to do our little part to give the fans access to the game. We're going to be bringing you live match commentary from Lizzie Wullen on Friday. Myself and Ethan Fitzpatrick will be live from Lizzie Wullen. So live audio commentary of Athlone against Longford Town in the El Clasico Friday night. And that will be free for all on our Mixlr channel.
And you'll be completely impartial, I presume.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Professional to the T.
Professional to the T, yeah.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on this one?
Well, Athlone coming into this one in good form.
Yeah.
If Longford play against Athlone like they played against Bray, Athlone will get something. Mm. But if they play like they played against UCD, Longford will win it. So it's which Longford will turn up.
I'd still like to see an improvement on that UCD display, though.
Yeah, yeah. Tell you what Longford did do. They kept the front two very quiet. And they're lethal, the front two.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. Maddie and Whelan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Two top goal scorers in the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, for they were kept very, very quiet. So they were well shackled there.
I think Longford were more conservative in the first half last night. Elworthy and Evans, they didn't play as high up as the wingbacks. They picked their moments a bit better when to go forward, because against Bray it was an absolute calamity.
Yeah.
They were just going forward willy-nilly and the Bray wingers were picking us off. But in saying that, the fact Longford did play conservatively in the first half, they didn't see much possession. Now, UCD, of course, are a side that like to have a lot of the ball, so maybe that won't be as big of an issue against that loan. But overall, what's your thoughts on that three at the back formation? Do you think it works for Longford?
I think it did, yeah. I like the fact that in the second half, Longford were able to push the wing-backs forward to almost make it a 3-5-2 formation with a flat five across the midfield, where the, like I say, the wing-backs almost played as wingers at that stage. And the three central defenders, I thought, did quite well because they had the young, experienced Dylan Hand in there. And it was great that they had Manley and
Who was the other centre half last night?
Mick McDonald,
yeah. Of course. Yeah, Joe Manley was very good, and he's been brilliant for a number of weeks now.
Yeah, he was very good. The two Manley lads were good. But look, let's go back to this match. Longford win for me.
Yeah, I'm going to side with Longford win. But again, if they have ambitions of getting promoted this year, it's a game they have to be winning. They'll probably get away again with playing that formation tomorrow against maybe one of the sides who don't see as much possession as that loan, the likes of Elworthy and Evans. They'll be afforded more time and space higher up the pitch. They mightn't have to worry about going back the other way as much. And I'm sure between Dervin and Zambra, they'll probably pick up Manning, who's the real playmaker in the team. But there is good players in that at loan team. And Lee Duffy, Longford know all about him. So they just have to be wary when they're going forward that they don't leave themselves exposed at the back.
Yeah, they need to do a good defensive job, that's for sure.
And finally, this weekend in the First Division, Shamrock Rovers 2 against UCD. Again, another tough one to call. It's a battle of youth here.
I don't think so, because for me, Rovers B have been putting out some really inexperienced teams. I know they've got a couple of experienced heads, but they're sort of playing a lot in the first team, you know, the likes of Dean Williams and so on. So,
skilled.
You know, that you've seen some quite youthful sides. So I think they could have a bit of a weak underbelly. And, you know, you can't keep Yo-Yo and Whelan quiet for a couple of consecutive matches. So I expect UCD to win this.
You'd imagine UCD are going to be a little bit angry with themselves for that second half display.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. They got a bit of a shock that second half. They'll be wanting to bounce back.
Yeah, I had called Rovers to beat Cabinteely, and that didn't happen. And Cabo actually won a 2-0 on the night. So I think what you're probably saying is true. They might be just going through a little bit of a difficult patch there, Rovers, after a fairly good start to the season. So I'm going to go with a UCD win there.
Okay.
Let's move on to the Premier Division previews for the weekend. Bohemians against Derry. Derry struggling for goals. Bo's back to winning ways with that win over Sligo. They're at home here. They've got to be favourites, haven't they?
I think so. And they've got to keep the pressure on. You know, it's no good them dropping points, because at the moment Rovers play really well. They've got to go to Dundalk. So, I mean, that's one of the toughest away games they've got. So Bo's have to be at their best to beat Derry, and anything less than a Bo's win, I think, could signal the end for their title aspirations.
Yeah, if you're looking at this game on paper, you're probably thinking to yourself, Derry will go up there and set up not to lose, and they'll be happy with a point. But they need to get back to winning ways soon, Derry. You know, picking up draws is not going to be enough for them to get into Europe, and I'm sure that's the goal for Declan Devine. They did it last year. They'll want to at least get into it again this year, if not improve on their league position, but that looks unlikely now. I don't think they can afford to go up to Daly Mount and just sit in and hope for a draw.
No, I don't think so neither. But I think Bowes love too much for them. Yeah. They seem to, you know, they're a good close knit team and squad, and I think they might have too much for Derry.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Waterford against Sligo. Waterford absolutely torn apart up in Talla last night. Is that going to have a knock on effect here when they host Sligo?
Sligo being in great form as well, Kieran. You know, what a turnaround, as we said, from where we were at the start of the season. Waterford need a new manager in quick, don't they, I would say, after that performance. But, you know, it's a way to Rovers. Any team could get battered there at the moment.
They're still in the mix for Europe, Waterford. If they could win this, they pull themselves right back up. But, as you said, they just need to get a manager appointed very, very quickly there. Sligo, they've got to be eyeing this one as a chance to make up for that defeat against Bowes and keep themselves in that top three.
Yeah, I think they can go to Waterford and get something, definitely.
Yeah I agree with you there. We're agreeing a lot tonight. Yeah. Pats against Shells, a Dublin derby. Pats struggling for goals. Shells creating chances, not taking them at the moment. They've left a lot of points behind recently. It could be costly. Can they get one over their Dublin rivals?
I haven't been impressed with Pats at all this season, and they've really underperformed for me, Kieran. I did think that I had high hopes for them with the signings that they made, and we always seem to do this, don't we? We try and predict Pats to do better than they ever do. Yeah. You know, we talked about them for European places, but they just seem to fail to deliver despite what quality you think they have. And, you know, Shells, they're quite tricky to beat. And I think they'll go to Pat. I think they'll beat them.
You think Shells will beat Pats?
I think Shells will, yeah.
Wow, big, big call. And I know Pats fans wouldn't be happy if that was the result.
Yeah.
For me, Pats, they were well organised in their last game. Didn't create as much as they would have liked. There was a couple of half chances for Georgie Kelly. Shells, that defensive error in the second half against Hartford, they had a man sent off. Some people say it was a harsh decision, but to get caught out with a direct kick from the keeper, that's poor defending no matter what way you look at it. Mm-hmm. And they're not taking their chances, as I said. They just haven't been clinical in front of goals. I think this has probably got a draw written all over this game, but if Pats are going to get motoring, they need to do it now, and there'll be no better time to do it than against Shells in a Dublin derby. So wouldn't be surprised to see Pats win that one, but I've probably got to side with a draw.
Okay, fair enough. Now, this for me is the match of the weekend. Harps against Cork.
Oh, this is absolutely massive. For me, if Cork win this one, there's still maybe a chance for Harps to survive and get a playoff, because you look at the Harps side and they're just so hard to play against. You know, as we mentioned, they should have beaten Derry. They should have beaten Shells. So they're always value to surprise people and get a result. But you look at that Cork team, you just don't know where they're going to get a win. They look so poor, so inexperienced, so unorganised at times. So if they could win this game, it's a huge boost for them. I don't think they'd bury Harps by any chance if they win it. But the other side of it is, for me, if Harps beat Cork, I think that's Cork gone. I think they're relegated if they lose this game.
Do you know, I can just see in my crystal ball, playoffs, Longford versus Cork in the playoff final. I can just see it, Fenn back against Longford. And I just think Cork will avoid finishing bottom. That's my prediction.
What are you basing that off, though? Because a lot of people are saying that. Is it just because they're Cork? Is it the name? Just they're too big to go down? Is that what you think?
It's just fate.
Fate, okay.
No, I just...
That's fair enough. As good a reason as any.
I just, you know, you can just see it, can't you, as Longford Town fan.
I can't see it.
Can you not?
I know what you're saying about fate. And look, we're having that conversation almost every week when we go out to Bishopsgate. Oh, Cork lost again this weekend. Are they going to get a playoff? We're going to be in the playoffs. Could it happen?
Yeah.
This Cork team is so, so poor.
Yeah.
It's the worst Cork team since I've started following League of Ireland almost 20 years ago now.
We talked about it right back at the start of the season, didn't we? The budget that...
Oh, it's no surprise they're in this situation. We're not surprised at all. And we're not surprised Harps are in this situation because they always find it tough against better resource sides. But you can see where Harps are picking up points.
Yeah.
Organised, good offset pieces, long throw-ins, making it hard for the opposition, pressing the life out of them. Sometimes they go slightly over the line doing that. We've touched on their disciplinary record. This Cork team, you just don't know where they're going to pick up points, and you don't know how they're going to do it, because they're not playing good football, which is what we'd expect from a Neil Fenn side.
No.
They don't seem to have the outlet to be able to go along and mix it up. Where are they going to get goals? Where are they going to get points?
I think the fact that they were shopping in Woolworth's bargain bin for signings at the start of the season is coming back to haunt them. And they signed so many inexperienced players. I know they brought Cummins in, but he's gone again, hasn't he?
Yeah, so, you know,
you just wonder, and I think he wanted to play central defence rather than his natural position of centre forward. So you don't, I don't know if all's right down there, Kieran. I think the money's an issue. I don't think they can afford to go down. I think it'd be a disaster for that club.
And there'll be a small number of fans in here, all Finn Harps fans. They're going to get right behind that team. It's not going to be a nice place to go.
No, no. So
Harps win this. Calling it now. Cork,
they're gone
if they lose this.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm finding this one really tough. I'm sort of siding with Cork, and I don't know why, to be honest. Yeah, could be.
Football's a funny old game. It's the best reason of any to make a prediction is fate, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's it. But we'll look back at it, and if it is Cork against Longford in the playoff final, we'll say we called it.
Yeah, and we said it on last week's show. It was Fitzy on with me last week from a Longford point of view. And I think from most First Division fans' point of view, if your team does make that playoff final, you'd much rather play Cork than Harps.
Harps are tough old,
tough old team to
play in playoff final. You know, nobody wants to be playing them on a playoff final because, they'll find a way of beating you, I'm afraid.
So you're going Cork.
Yeah, and I don't really know why, Kieran. Well, fair enough.
I've made my reasoning, so I'll leave it there. I go Harps.
Yeah.
Final one, we're rounding off with the biggest game of the weekend. It's live on RT as well. It's been announced today, RT2 for Dundalk against Shamrock Rovers. Hopefully we'll be speaking about Dundalk being in a playoff round for the Europa League. We'll chat about Europe before we go as well. But this is a tough ask against a Shamrock Rovers team who are coming in full of confidence. 6-1 win against Waterford. They've got one hand on the title. They lost, of course, last year at Oriel. Dundalk beat them 3-2 and lifted the title that night at Oriel. They're going to want to put that right.
Do you know what? It's a different club, this Dundalk club, at the moment.
There's no Rovers probably went there in other years. They're still Rovers, but they probably still went there with a bit of fear.
Yeah.
I don't think that's there this year. I think that's gone.
There'll be no fear. And like I said, they've got quality throughout the team. That performance, we'll talk about in a minute, in Europe, will give them confidence, and then thrashing Waterford, they'll be absolutely full of confidence and will fear nobody in this league at the moment.
I suppose it's probably a good a time as any to speak about Europe because it kind of links in with this game. We'll start with Rovers. Brilliant performance against AC Milan. They really held their own at times in that game.
Yeah, a couple of standout players for me. I thought Lopez was excellent in defence. You know, I think there'll have been a few eyes looking at him. You know, a few scouts having a look at him with that match, and you know, we know all about Jack Byrne, but he made some really good attacking runs, and Milan struggled to deal with him. But other player that stood out for me was Aaron Green. He had a good game.
Has he proven us wrong at long last?
Well, I think he's doing well, isn't he? He's scoring a few goals, and you know, he had most of the chances against Milan. You know, he was having a go at difficult angles, and he might have got a goal in League of Ireland, but this is where the difference in quality is. You're playing against a goalkeeper who's one of the best in the world,
yeah,
and Donnarumma, and you know he's unlikely to be beaten at that type of angle. As for Milan, they just had that little bit of extra quality in places. I mean, you obviously have Zlatan.
Yeah, took his goal well too.
But the midfielder that got the second, and his name escapes me now, Kieran, in true me style. Just that little bit of extra quality. But that's it. And I enjoyed watching it on the fact that it was showed. And
apparently there was a really good peak audience number as well, so that's positive too.
Yeah, exactly. Far more than expected. But I thought Rovers gave a great account of themselves, and they were very unlucky with a draw. Let's face it. Yeah. I mean, it couldn't have got any worse for them. And I know some people saying, well, they might have a chance against AC Milan. This is AC Milan, Kieran. Mm. You know, it's a real step up from any of the other draws that they could have had at that level. Very, very unfortunate because, they're playing well, and with a good draw, you could have seen them getting somewhere towards the group stages.
Yeah, if they played against a middle-rung European team like they did against Milan, you would have highly expected them to go through the way they played. But I think you've made a brilliant point, one of the best points of the night. Their performance against Milan, they've carried that back into the league. It's given them real belief. You know what? We can hold our own against the very best. They went out and no holds barred against Waterford, absolutely smashed them off the park, 6-1. And I'm sure they'll carry that confidence and a little bit of arrogance as well. They should put their chest out and say, we're Shamrock Rovers, we're the biggest club in the country, we're the best club in the country, we're the best team, we've got the best players. Let's go to Oriel and let's show them that.
Yeah, I see AC Milan, they won again at the weekend in the Italian League. I think it was Bologna they beat.
Yeah.
Same scoreline, you know. So it was a good performance from Rovers. And, you know, just a couple of bits of that extra class that was against them. And you can't keep Zlatan out of the news, can you?
No.
He was destined to score against them. But, you know, definitely. And like you said, they just transformed that form into the league. And, yeah, I can't see him slipping up from now. But, you know, like I say, good performance. Just very, very unfortunate with the draw.
Let's speak about their opponents on Sunday. Dundalk, they got through 1-0 against Andorran opposition. So Rovers lost to AC Milan. Dundalk beat Inter. So a great result for the League of Ireland, but Inter Andorra or Club Inter, whatever they're called. It wasn't the most convincing of displays. I don't think the referee helped in this one. Dundalk will just be glad to get through and into the next round.
Yep, the champions of the pub league beating the dog and duck, Kieran. that's the best way I can describe this, because Dundalk should have put a hat full of goals past this club. I mean, these are... You can talk about amateur sides all you want, but these are Interclub Andorra would be a very, very low standard. And for, you know, I mean, there was an awful red card, let's face it. That was a shocking decision there. But, you know, Dundalk should have played them off the pitch, Kieran. And to only finish 1-0, I think that shows the issues that Dundalk have at the moment.
In saying that, though, they're 3-3 under the new manager. Cup winning Cove, beat Shells, and they've progressed through a round of Europe, which will be financially rewarding for the club. And they've got the best draw that any Irish team has probably ever got in Europe. They won their previous round. They beat this Andorran team, and now they face a trip to Moldova. And if they win that, they've got a team from potentially Kosovo in the playoff round, or Georgia, Dynamo Tbilisi,
or I think an Icelandic side. Or
look, not easy by any stretch. Let's not click our fingers here and say, yep, Dundalk are in the group stages again. They've got a lot of work to do, but if this was Stephen Kenny's Dundalk of 2016, if they got this draw, you'd be putting every penny you have on them to make it through.
Sheriff and Old Mugs, Kieran, they're a good side.
They're well-resourced as well.
Yeah, they are, and they've a nice big stadium as well.
€150 million stadium.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's similar to Oriel then. No, I mean, all jokes aside, this will be a stiff competition for Dundalk. Like you said, the Dundalk of old, you'd have expected them to go there and get a win. But are they gonna this time? I think they're just disappointed so much this season, Kieran.
They'll have to play a lot better than they did in Andorra.
Of course, they will. Yeah, they will. And but like you say, a potential draw against the favourites in the other match is Dynamo Tbilisi. They're no great shakes, Kieran.
No.
I mean, I saw a bit of them. They took a last-minute penalty to beat Connors Quay Nomads with five players out with COVID-19 that Connors Quay side.
Right, I knew the result. I didn't know they were missing players with COVID. There you go.
Five out.
Yeah, that's not great form at all.
And to be fair, Connors Quay should have had something out of it. I think their manager, Andy Morrison, was doing a what's the fella play for Newcastle and kicking the advertising hoardings at the end, you know. Dynamo Tbilisi, no great shake. So if Dundalk can get through this, I fully expect them to get through to the group stages.
It'd be absolutely great to see, but again, just doesn't seem to be all right there at the moment, does it?
But you know what? I think for this season, I think we need to get Dundalk in the group stage, because otherwise we're going backwards in Europe again. And love to talk about the coefficient, but it'll take another hit, you know, if we don't get the team. But I suppose when you look at group stages, we've only had, you know, in the near past, Rovers and Dundalk.
Yeah, that's it.
So, you know, I think we can talk about easy draws, but it's still a great achievement if Dundalk get there.
Back to where we started. Who'll win it on Sunday, Dundalk or Rovers?
Rovers.
Yeah, I'll go Rovers myself. Right, before we go, we are going to do our usual charity bet, kindly sponsored by bar1racing.com. They give us a €10 free bet to use on the show every week, and we usually split it a fiver each way, myself and my co-host, who's John tonight. And we're going to try and raise a few pounds for charity. Autism Services in Dundalk and Pieta House are causes this season on the show. John, you are the only man to get a bet up this year on the podcast. It was all the way back on the opening weekend of the season in February. We haven't had a winner since, so I'm hoping you're going to be the lucky charm tonight.
Well, we go to picking winners, aren't we, sometimes?
Yeah.
So we'll have a go at this one. I think Galway to beat Cove. I think Caulfield's got them really ticking. I'm going to go for Bray against Drogheda. UCD to win at Rovers Beat. And I'm going to leave it at that, Kieran.
Okay, an old treble from John Breyer. I haven't got great vibes about that one. Sorry, John. I'm going to go for a fourfold again this week. I've not been lucky with my fourfolds this year, but I'm going to stick with it anyway. I'm going to go for Bowes to win against Derry, Finn Harps to win against Cork, Galway to win against Cove, and Longford to win the Derby against Athlone.
You said you haven't been lucky. Well, I need some luck for Longford Town anyway, so let's hope you... This comes up this week, because we could do with a few more quid in the pot, couldn't we?
Yeah, it'd be great for our charities that we're trying to raise a few pounds for. But thanks to BarwinRacing.com, they continue to give us the opportunity to raise a few pounds for charity each and every week. John, it's been great to have you back.
Thanks very much, Kieran, and I'm so looking forward to your special that you should have out later in the week.
Yeah, hoping to have it out later in the week. As I said, an hour and a half with Roddy Collins. I was actually over 2 hours on the phone with Roddy.
How did you get an hour and a half with Roddy Collins? I mean, we have all the right connections.
Yeah, we've been trying for yonks to try and get a number for Roddy Collins, and it's just pure luck that I stumbled on a contact that was kind enough to put me through to Roddy, and he couldn't have been better with his time today. So we just have to tidy up a little bit. He's actually out in Achill Island at the moment, so
yeah.
As you can imagine, the Wi-Fi was not very good, to say the least, so we had to use a landline, and it caused a little couple of issues here and there, so we have to just scrub the sound up a wee bit, but it won't be a big issue, and hopefully it will be available later in the week. As I said, if you subscribe now to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, wherever you get your podcast, the minute that special lands, you'll get it on your device.
And I should add, just before we go tonight, Kieran, Champagne Football by Mark Tai. If you haven't read it, read it. Go out and buy it. Don't download it on WhatsApp. Go out and buy it, because that man did a lot of favours for us.
I wasn't shocked to hear that, because, look, social media. But whoever is sending around a pirated copy of that, like... How sad do you have to be?
It's a fantastic book and such great investigative journalism. So, you know, and at the end of the day, this is a man that dethroned Delaney and the FAI, and we owe him a debt of gratitude.
Yeah, myself and Roddy, we spoke about that in depth, so you'll hear that in our exclusive interview with Roddy. Really looking forward to it. But spread the word. I have to say, I'm going to admit, numbers have been down slightly on the podcast recently. I know it's challenging times for everyone. People aren't travelling to games, not travelling in the car as much. And that's generally when people do listen. But an awful lot of work goes into this show. And we'd really love to get as many listeners as possible, because our goal here is to promote the League of Ireland and to give followers of the League of Ireland a bit of enjoyment each and every week during these challenging times. So if you can subscribe, leave a review on Apple, and most importantly of all, share the podcast on social media. That means the world to us.
Well, Kieran, I don't think I have anything more to add tonight. It's been great to be back, I have to say. So I've really enjoyed that. And like I say, hopefully everybody tunes in.
How many times was the John Breyer bingo tick tonight? You mentioned...
Quite a few. I think I got...
Coefficients.
I think I obviously got Yeovil Town in there. I mentioned the Welsh Club.
Yeah, that's three.
Yeah.
You didn't mention any pitches. That's good.
No.
We don't like to be slandering pitches.
And I didn't get the Manly brothers mixed up as well. That's normally every episode, yeah.
It's taken 4 years, but you're getting good at it.
Yeah.
Folks, that's where we'll leave it tonight. Been brilliant to have Breyer back in the studio with me, and we'll be back again next week. But as I said, subscribe now and keep an eye on our social channels for that special episode with the Rodster, Roddy Collins. Good night and God bless.